You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Well, good morning. Good morning, Sun Life Church. Good morning, everyone who is present on this great day here. It's a great day. What Simon has been sharing is that the preacher around the globe on this day should only preach on one topic, which is the resurrection, because this day is all about the resurrection. That's it. It's about this whole idea where someone died and rose from the grave. And the person that we have been singing to and raising our hand in surrender and just giving it our very all is the person who is not in the grave somewhere, but alive. He's on his throne. He's King Jesus, and he lives in us. And that's the only reason why we are doing what we're doing here, is because we worship a God who is alive. If the resurrection never took place, if he is still dead, then I can say that Christians, you're all fools. You're foolish. Your faith is like a house of cards. It is nothing. If he never rose, then we're just wasting our time. I am wasting my time being a minister of the gospel. John Stott, the late John Stott, he says this: Christianity is in its very essence a resurrection religion. It's not a feel-good religion. It's not some moral teaching. It's not a Jewish religion or a Western religion or an Eastern. No, it's a resurrection religion at the core of the Christian faith. It's about worshiping someone who died. He died, but he rose. And Stott would say the concept of the resurrection lies at its heart. If you remove it, Christianity is destroyed. You see, all the claims of Jesus, the claim that he forgives us, he forgives our sins, it hinges on the resurrection. The claim that we have a future hope with Jesus, with God forever, it hinges on the resurrection. The claim that we get to enjoy Jesus today and forevermore, that claim, it hinges on the resurrection. The claim that Jesus is the only way to the Father, no one except him, it hinges on the resurrection. The claim that Jesus is God incarnated in the flesh, dwelt amongst us, it hinges on the resurrection. And if the resurrection never took place, I tell you right now, Jesus is a madman. He's dangerous. Someone who died on the cross. We might as well just pack up now, go look for the Easter bunny and get all the chocolate eggs. If the resurrection is not true. C.S. Lewis, in his amazing book, Mere Christianity, I quote what he says. He says, you must make a choice. You must either believe in the resurrection or you don't. You make that choice. And I assume that a lot of us here, we believe in the resurrection. We believe that our Lord is alive. We believe that we worship a God who is alive, who is victorious, and he lives in us, and there is hope. And Lewis would say, you must make that choice. You make that choice. No one's going to make that choice for you. You decide. Either this man, Jesus, was and is the Son of God, because he claims to be the Son of God, or else he's a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit on him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet. And you can call him as Lord and God. You have to make the decision. And that's why today is very, very important. And one of the questions that every Christian must ask is that, do we really believe in the resurrection? Do we really believe that he's alive, or it's just something that's passed on from our parents to us? Or we believe that he's alive because the songs that we sing reminds us that he's alive, or we go to a church that preaches that he's alive, but do we really believe in the resurrection? That's a choice that you have to make. And how do we know it's real? How do we actually know it's true? And so how do we know the events of 2,000 years ago is actually really true? That's 2,000 years ago. That's a long, long time ago. And my only advice is to look at writings that were 2,000 years ago. Don't listen to someone who tells you that it's true. Don't trust your gut instincts or your feeling that it's true. Don't trust someone who wrote a song that is true. No, go back to the writings of 2,000 years ago and see what the writings have to say. If Paul wrote a letter to some Christians in Corinth around 25 years after the resurrection, and he said this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. He says, "And if Christ," that's Jesus, "has not been raised," in other words, he's still dead. Good Friday, he died, hasn't been raised, then he says, "Your faith is futile, it's pointless, it's hopeless, and you are still in your sins." That's Paul's writing. He says that if Jesus never rose, then what you believe in is rubbish, it's pointless, and you are still in your sin, which means that if you are still sinful, a holy God would want nothing to do with you. Friends, do not have a theology that God is love and God is all love, therefore God loves me as a sinner. That's a wrong theology. Let me tell you why that's wrong. Because God loves us with a price. There's a price in God loving us. And the price is the sacrifice of his one and only Son. The only reason why we are loved by a holy God is because God gave up his one and only Son, that in the death of Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus is given to us and our sinfulness is passed on to Jesus. That's why God is love. If you have a theology that God is love because God is love and God loves me and accepts all my sinfulness and therefore I will place my trust in God when I feel like it, that's a poor and weak theology. God loves you with a cost. And the cost is that he gave up his Son for us, and that Good Friday, a beautiful exchange took place where the righteousness of God's Son was on you and your sinfulness was on the Son. Therefore now you can stand righteous and holy and pure before a righteous and holy God. That's a better theology. Martin Luther, he talks about this wonderful exchange that took place on the cross. I read Luther, he says this: "That is the mystery which is rich in divine grace to sinners." You and I, we're sinners. "Wherein by a wonderful exchange, our sins are no longer ours, but Christ, and the righteousness of Christ, not Christ, but ours. He has emptied himself of his righteousness that he might clothe us with it and fill us with it." That's a better theology. That I am only accepted by God the Father because what God the Son did for me on that Good Friday. He took my sin and he clothed me with his righteousness. Therefore, when God the Father sees me, he sees the Son clothing me with his righteousness. Therefore, my sinfulness has been covered up with his righteousness. That's why I'm loved by him. But let me say this, that what Jesus did on the cross, as Paul would say, would be pointless if he never rose. That's what Paul says. If he never rose, then what you believe in, this whole clothing of righteousness and your sin being taken away, it is pointless and you are still in your sin. And if you're still in your sin, a holy God would want nothing to do with you. Does that make sense? But I am so glad that he's alive. I'm so glad that he is alive, and I know the work on Good Friday accomplished what was accomplished. Therefore, now I stand before a holy God, righteous, not because of what I do. No, no, no. It's because of what Jesus has done, and now he clothes me with his righteousness. That's why today is a good day. Because if today never took place some 2,000 years ago, we are still dead in our sins. Does that make sense? And you know, Paul, when he wrote this 25 years after the resurrection, he was so confident. I want to show you why he was so confident. In the same chapter, he says, "If you don't trust me, Go and ask all the people who saw the resurrected Jesus. Go and ask them for yourself. They're still alive. Go with me back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from verses 4 onwards. He says that he, that's Jesus, was buried. He died on Friday, and he was raised on the third day, Sunday, according to the scripture. And that he, Jesus, appeared to Peter, that's the first individual, and then to the 12, that's the second group of people, and then more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, that's a third group of people, and whom are still living. 500 people, some are still alive, some have fallen asleep, which means they've died. And then he appeared to James, his brother, that's the fourth group of people. He appeared to the other followers, the other apostles. And last, he appeared to me, that's Paul. Six groups of individuals or people he appeared. And Paul says, if you don't trust me, go and find those people. They're still alive. Ask them for yourself. Such confidence in Paul. Don't believe me. Go and look for these people. They're still alive. And I would imagine people did go asking, did you see Jesus? Was he really resurrected? And these people say, yes, yes. Not only that, we see the confidence in the apostles. The people who were with Jesus. Remember the guys who lived with Jesus and they witnessed Jesus and they saw the resurrected Jesus? Well, they had such confidence in the resurrection that, if you know church history, they all gave up their life for what they preach and proclaim, that Jesus died and rose, and they all died for the faith. I mean, if they made that all up, if that was some fairy tale, why would you risk your life? Why would you die? I mean, under the heat, under the pressure, yeah, we made it all up. It was a fairy tale. No, no. How many people are worshiping the resurrection today? Do you know? Around 2.4 billion followers today. If this was all made up, I am pretty sure those 12 disciples would have backed away and said, we made it all up. Please don't take our lives. And what we have today would not exist. You know, look at what Scripture is saying. And there's such confidence. And you think about it. If you weren't confident about something, you would not risk your life for it. Amen? I've got a picture of this man, John Carpenter, on the screen here. I don't know if you've seen John Carpenter before. Maybe. Maybe. See, John Carpenter was on the quiz show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And it was the last question. Get this question right, and he's going to walk away with $1 million. One lifeline left. Call a friend. The question was read out. So he decided to call a friend. He called his father. He called up his father. And his father picked up the phone. The host says, by the way, John's got one last question to ask you. This is the big one, to win $1 million. And John speaks to his father. And he said to his father, Dad, I want you to know that you're the first person to hear from me that I'm going to be a millionaire. Thank you, Dad. I love you. See you later. And he looked at the screen, and the answer is this. Lock it in. Such confidence. If you weren't that confident, you wouldn't risk $1 million. If you weren't that confident, you would not risk your life into a fairy tale. And so the resurrection is true. And I know if I look here and I see you, I see your lives transform. I see how Christ is the center of your life. I see how you're following Jesus. I know that's evidence that the faith that you have is a living faith. It's a growing faith, and it's beautiful. Why? Because he died and he rose. But maybe for some of you here today, you're still doubting. You're not quite sure. I've got some hope. I've got some good news for you. I want to take you back to the moment of the resurrection, that Sunday, when the ladies came looking for Jesus. If you have your Bible, tell with me to Luke 24. This is the word of God, verse 1. On the first day, which is Sunday of the week, very early in the morning, the women, they took the spices they had prepared and they went to the tomb. So we see these ladies here. It was now the right time for them to go to the tomb. That's because on the Saturday, the day before, it was a Sabbath day. So they could not go out. And so they waited for the day where they're allowed to leave the house, which is a Sunday morning. And they would go to the tomb with their spices. And it was a way of showing their respect, their final respect for their Lord, their Savior. And also, they say, was probably to preserve the body, cover up the smell of the decaying body. And so in the ladies here, later on we find it's Mary Magdalene, it's Mary the mother of Jesus, it's Joanne, and they go with their spices. And as they walk towards the tomb, to their shock, horror, the stone, which was used to keep thieves from coming in, was rolled away. Look in verses 2 and 3. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Now, this is very interesting. You think about this carefully. These ladies here, they would have heard on countless occasions Jesus saying, I am going to die. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to give up my life, but it's okay because in 3 days' time, I'm going to come back from the grave. They've heard this many times. But for some reason, it didn't sink to their hearts. It was like in one ear, out the other. Because I really think that if they really believed what Jesus said, that they would be waiting in anticipation for Sunday. If they really believed that their Lord will come back from the grave on Friday, they will be like, come on, countdown, come on, 2 more days, 1 more days, woohoo, he's going to be alive. But no, it's not the case. They came expecting a dead body with the spices to show their final respect to preserve the body. And when they walked in and there was no body, they were shocked. Oh, little faith, these ladies. Now look in verses 4 and 5. While they were wondering about this, scratching their heads, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them. We know these were the angels. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? The angels were saying, why are you looking for someone who is alive in a place for the dead? Why? He's alive. And it still didn't register yet. They're still like not quite sure what's going on. Now look in verse 6 and 7. The angel said, he's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? Verse 7. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. The angel said, remember what he said? He has to be delivered. He must be crucified. He must be buried and then raised. Now look in verse 8, the aha moment. Then they remembered his words. Aha, it's true. Then they remembered Jesus died and will come back to life. As you read through the chapter, what happens next is they run back to find the 11 disciples who were hiding. Remember, they're hiding away. These ladies ran back to tell them that Jesus is alive. Now look with me in verse 11. The ladies told this to the apostle, but they did not believe in the women. Wow, how disappointing. They did not believe. I think the disciples, like us today, we have to make that choice. Do we believe or don't we believe? With all the evidence out there, we still have to make that decision. Do we believe in the resurrection or not? I mean, every preacher, myself, I could tell you the many good things about the claims of Jesus, the promises of Jesus, the offers of Jesus. I could tell you that following Jesus is the best decision ever, that he will transform you and you would live for the good of those around you, for your family, and also the glory of God. And I can quote you Bible verses like John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave up his son, his only son, and whoever believes, should not perish but have eternal life. But you know what, friends? At the end of the day, you still have to make that decision. You still have to believe in the resurrection or not believe in the resurrection. And what I have come to know over the years of following Jesus and teaching the Word of God is that I've realized God is a very gentle God. He's very kind. He's very patient. He's a God waiting for us to believe, waiting for us to come back to Him. I don't see a God who's pressuring you, demanding you've got to believe. I see a God who's very kind. He's always drawing people back slowly. And I hope that this is a church like that. That you don't come here feeling that you're manipulated or people giving you the guilt trip or people telling you, better believe, otherwise you're going to hell. No. I hope that you feel that in this church here, we want to present you the truth of the gospel and let you do what you need to do. And my prayer is that God's Spirit will work in you and you will take that step closer to the cross and that you would believe. Romans 2:4, Paul says this, don't you see how wonderfully kind and tolerant and patient God is with you? Does not this mean nothing to you? Can you see that His kindness and He is intended to turn you from your sin? How good is that? He's kind, He's patient, He's loving. And what I see here in the text with the ladies and the disciple is I see exactly that. He's so kind. Because remember, these ladies here, they should know better. They should know that Jesus died and will come back to life. They should be heading towards the tomb, anticipating to see their risen Lord, but they didn't. They came with doubt. They came with spices trying to, you know, respect the dead and preserve His body. And what does God do? He sends them two angels. He doesn't condemn them. He doesn't say, oh, ladies, you're so wicked. You are so faithless. Why did you doubt? He didn't start over again with some other ladies. No, He sends them two angels to say, remember what He said? That He has to die, be crucified, and come back from the grave. And then they remembered the patience of God, the kindness of God, sending angels to prompt their hearts back to God. And then we have the disciples, the 11 disciples who should know better. They've heard it many times that their master will die and come back to life. But they're hiding. And as you read through Luke's account, if you remember, there were two other disciples on their road to Emmaus. Remember? Two disciples, not the 11, on their road to Emmaus, and Jesus appears. And then they realized it was Jesus. And what happens if you read your Bible? They ran back to tell the 11. Still didn't believe. And then what happened next? You remember? Look in Luke 24, verse 31. These two disciples, their eyes were open and they recognized. Verse 33, they got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11. They told them and say, it's true, the Lord has risen. And then what happened was that Jesus didn't wait for these 11 to believe. Jesus appeared before them in verse 36. While they were still talking about this, trying to figure out, is it true? Jesus Himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. They still didn't believe. Because you remember what happened? Thomas doubted. Another one. Is it really you? I want to see the nail marks. I want to see it. I want to touch it. They doubted. And then in verse 44, I love this. At the end of Luke's gospel, Jesus said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And I read this during the week and I'm like, God, must you be that patient? Must you be that kind? Couldn't you start over again with another 12 guys who had a bit more faith? But no, you see, I see a patient God. I see a kind God. I see a loving God. I see a God of grace. And for some of you today, I want you to see that as well. That you are here not by chance. You're here because God loves you And God has used a messenger, your loved ones, your friends, to bring you here so that you hear the message of the resurrection, that God loves you, but He's a patient God. He's a kind God. He's waiting for you to come back home. He's waiting for you to repent and say, I'm sorry. I believe in you. I really believe in you. I believe that you died for me on that Friday, and 3 days later you rose for me. I'm sorry. I want to come home. It's time to come home. That's why today is a good day, because the gospel is always an invitation for everyone who is far to come back home. He's a patient God. He's a kind God. He's a loving God. He's a gracious God. And He's waiting for sons and daughters to say, I believe, I believe. I believe that Jesus died for me on that Good Friday, that my sinfulness is upon Him and the cross. His righteousness now clothed me. And He died and He rose, and in His resurrection, it was done. He accomplished what He had to do, and I'm part of that. I believe I'm coming home. Today's a good day if you already have given your life to Jesus. And for those who haven't, today's a good day as well, because He is a patient God, a loving God, wanting everyone to repent and come back home. It's a good day. You know why? He's alive. And He lives in you and me. And for those who have Jesus in them, we have to keep living that hope that we have. Amen? We've got to keep living a way where people see the future we hope we have, the fact that we have been ransomed by the blood of Jesus, and today we stand pure and innocent and blameless before a holy God. It is a good day. Amen? Amen. Let me pray. Let me pray and invite anyone here this day to come back home. God, thank you so much for the resurrection of your Son. Thank you so much that you died and you rose, and we believe and we know it's true. Otherwise, our faith is futile and we're still in our sin. We're grateful that we're not. We're grateful that our faith is real. We're grateful that we're no longer in our sin, but we are righteous before you. We are so grateful that you died and you rose for us, that in your death, it is also our death, and your resurrection is also our resurrection. And we have a hope that no matter what takes place in this life, that we will rise with you and we get to enjoy you forevermore. We believe, we believe. So friends, with all eyes closed, I'm going to ask you this question, because this is a great day to respond to this question here. That if you do not believe yet, you still have doubts, but right now something is happening. Right now, the Spirit of God is working in you. And right now you say, I believe. I want to go back home. I want to head back home to the Father. I want you to know, like in Luke 15, the lost son, when he heads back home, the Father is not waiting for him. No, the Father is running towards him, arms wide open, embracing him, saying, come home, come home. So that is you this morning, that you have not believed and Jesus is not your Lord, not your Savior. But this day, you want Jesus to be Lord and Savior. I want to pray for you. I really do. I want you to be included in the death and resurrection of Jesus. All I want you to do is just raise your hands so that I know who I'm praying for. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to get you to come up forward. I just want to pray for you and know who I'm praying for you. If that is you this day, you say, Pastor, yeah, this is the day. On this day, Resurrection Sunday 2024, I believe. I put my faith in Jesus. I want to trust Jesus. If that is you, you raise your hands right now. So I want to pray for you. Is there anyone here this morning who says, yeah, this day? Thank you. Hallelujah. Anyone else? I see your hand. I want to pray for you, sister. Anyone else who says, yeah, on this day, I believe. I put my faith in Jesus. This is the day. Anyone else? Yes, thank you. thank you. God is alive. He still saves today. He saved me years ago, and He's still saving people today. Anyone else who says, Pastor, I believe, this is the day. I give my life to Jesus. I'm following Jesus. I'm not turning back. His death, my death. His resurrection, my resurrection. Anyone else? Because I want to pray for you, and I want to believe with you that God is going to change your life. Anyone else? Hallelujah. So I'm going to pray now. And those two that raise your hand, three, can you pray as well? And everyone, why don't you pray with me as well? We're going to pray this prayer together. Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, I believe in you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you for giving me a new purpose. This day I believe that you died for me. You rose for me. Your spirit lives in me. The old is gone. The new is here. I believe you're alive. You're enthroned. You're my King. You're my Master. I believe. In Jesus' name, amen.